And let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm 105, a psalm of thanksgiving, reminding us of the faithfulness of our God. So let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm 105, reading together the 45 verses, not insignificant because it does rehearse the history of Israel for us and remind us of God's faithfulness through all of those situations. So let us hear together the word of God, Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as an allotment to your inheritance. Of when they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do not my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also and their fig trees and splintered the trees of their territory. He spoke, and locusts came, young locusts without number, and ate up all the vegetation of their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first in all their strength. He also brought them out with the silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt, was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It ran in dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning, this Thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, what do we do on Thanksgiving? So many people are worried about what we're going to eat. And yet, brothers and sisters, God has given to us so much to eat to the full. What we should be doing on Thanksgiving is making known the deeds of the Lord. Now notice the proclamation that we just read from 1781. makes that very clear. That we are thanking the Lord who is the God of providence, the God who works all of these things together. And we as Christians need to remind ourselves and remind others that all things come not by chance, but by the fatherly hand of Almighty God. And that we need to remember the history that God has given to us. A history, yes, that goes back to Abraham, that goes back to Adam and Eve in the garden. But our own history, to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God to us. And so that when we have times of hardship, and God certainly does not omit them in this passage, when we have hardship, this also comes from the loving fatherly hand of our God, and that it is used by God for the good of His people. And so as we look at this passage, we need to realize where we're going in thanksgiving, what we're doing. Notice where it goes at the end. That God is the one who provides everything for us. Notice that they might observe His statutes. We're called to obedience. Praise the Lord. It is right. It is good. It is important for us that we be here. Yes, there are few people that gather together on Thanksgiving. But I think it very important that we do, to worship God, not the night before, not many days before, but on the day set aside for Thanksgiving, because God is the one whom we need to thank. And we need to do that by worship. And so God's people bow in thanksgiving, remembering His blessings. That's the theme that we want to see in God's Word. God's people bow in thanksgiving, remembering His blessings. In verses 1 through 6, we see that we are to give thanks to God in worship. Worship is described there for us. In verses 7 through 15, we see that God cares for His people according to His covenant. And then in verses 16 through 45, we see that God superintends over evil for the good of His people. So first of all, we give thanks to God in worship. We are to call upon His name. That we call on God as the God who has given to us everything. We give thanks to God through worship. And we are then to make known His deeds among the peoples. That we tell others what God has done for us. That is in salvation, but that is in our lives, what God has provided for us day by day. Thinking on those things, telling others those things, not just holding them in our hearts. That we sing to Him. Sing songs or psalms to Him. Again, a description of what we are called to do in worship. That we sing the praises of our God to tell of all His wondrous works. We are reminded in our worship of what God has done for us. That we glory in His name. In God. Not ourselves, not what we have made of ourselves, because we know that we haven't, knowing that all that we have is a gift from God. We glory in then God's name, and that His name is to be set apart, that we worship Him. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. We can rejoice because of what He has done for us. And we seek the Lord's strength, that we seek His face. Again, a description of worship. That we come before God's face. As we think about the benediction, may the Lord, Lord's face shine upon you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His countenance. That's His face to us. And we have that in worship. And we seek the strength of the Lord, knowing that the Lord gives His strength to those who worship Him. And we think on and remember the works of God, the marvels, the wonders, the judgments of God. That God works marvelous things. That He has done wonders. When we think of the creation around us, when we think of the redemption, the power of God to save, when we think of the judgment coming, when we think of the eternal life that God has given to us, and we have this given to us. And the address there in verse 6 is to the seed of Abraham. Now, why are we listening then? Because, of course, we are the true seed of Abraham. The church is the true seed of Abraham. And that we rejoice because we have been engrafted into this tree, this root, which God laid out back all the way with Abraham. Because we have been given salvation that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is given to us. So we come together to worship God. And we need to be reminded that God cares for His people. The history of God's care for us. That we rejoice in God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is the Lord our God. I don't know about you, but it always amazes me that God allows Himself to be referenced in the same sentence as us miserable sinners. Our God. That God allows Himself to be called my God. He has been very gracious to us. And He is our God. He cares about what happens on yours and my hair. And His judgments are all over the earth. At that same time, the God who cares about the hairs of our head, He is the one who judges all of the earth. He will judge. And God remembers His covenant forever. I was working through preparing for Sunday, and the number of times in which God talks in 1 Kings 11, as Solomon is losing the kingdom because of his unfaithfulness to God, God says, but because of my covenant with David, because of my promise to Jerusalem, I'm not going to just totally throw away the house of David. God is so gracious. His covenant, the old covenant made with Abraham, is that same covenant which we are told He keeps in salvation. That He could be just and the justifier of the ungodly. That He would, because He could not swear by anyone greater than Himself, He swore by His very existence, by Himself. And He has kept it. He has provided salvation. That God remembers His promises. That God remembers the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. God's will does not change. And God's promises do not change. They are yea and amen. They are certain. The covenant which He made with Abraham, His oath to Isaac, and He confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel, is an everlasting covenant. And God remembers that covenant with us. God is so gracious. We have the way of promise identified to us. The way of salvation, the broad road which leads to destruction, and the narrow road, the hard way which leads to eternal life. God tells us that. He doesn't hide it from us. And God cares for His people. We hear that here as the Israelites are on their way to Egypt. The promise in which God promised Canaan as an inheritance, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when they were few in number, and indeed very few, and strangers in it. When Israel was strangers and few in Canaan, Abraham and his wife and his servants went in, and when they came back out, we're told that they were a multitude. When Israel went from nation to nation as they wandered around the land of Canaan. And God doesn't shy away from the rough details. He permitted, verse 14, no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. He permitted no one to do them harm. Notice kings, even when it was Abraham and Isaac's fault because they lied about their wives, yet God did not allow these kings to do them harm. The promise which God had given to them was not forgotten. And yes, brothers and sisters, we fail. We fall far short of the glory which God deserves. We sin in manners that very much get in the way of the covenant. Yet God does not allow those things to throw us aside, to throw off His power to save. And God superintends then over evil for the good of His people. We need to be reminded of that because it is so easy to become discouraged when things go hard and difficult for us. God saves His people, yet this brings future trouble. Verse 16, He called for a famine over the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. God destroyed all of the provision of bread for the land of Canaan, for the land of Egypt. But what do we see? He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Joseph was sent ahead to prepare the way. Joseph was sold as a slave. This surely didn't seem like a good thing was happening when he was sold into slavery. And yet, of course, what happened? We know. We know the history, that God sent him down. What happened to Joseph? He was tested. They put him in fetters. He was tested by Potiphar's wife. He was tested in prison. He had interpreted the king's servant's dreams, yet he was forgotten, left to rot in prison. But then the king released Israel. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. Verse 20. That God worked that out. He made him lord of his house. Verse 21. And ruler of all his possessions. That Joseph went from being in prison, in fetters, to the second in the kingdom. And God gave Israel the ability to choose their princes, to teach their elders, that God gave Joseph that ability. And Israel then dwelt in Egypt. They dwelt there in luxury, in safety. And yet what happened? We know the story. That God blessed Israel to increase in Egypt, but God then brought hardship. That hardship was for the future blessing again of His people. God turned Pharaoh's heart to hate His people. Is it always a bad thing when we have problems? We always seem to think so. But God is using this to provide for them, to bless them. And so God sends Moses and Aaron, who would bring about Israel's release from slavery. And Moses and Aaron performed signs among the Egyptians. The sign of darkness, we read about 28. The sign of blood, the sign of frogs everywhere, hail, flies. The sign of locusts. And they still wouldn't turn. And so he sent the sign of the death of the firstborn, which of course also prefigures the coming of Christ and the death of the firstborn of God in our place. But God brought His people out of Egypt, out of that slavery, in strength and with riches, we're told. With silver and gold, there was not one feeble among His tribes. They plundered Egypt without fighting. Egypt was glad when they departed. And they carried out the riches of Egypt. And God brought His people forward to the promised land. He spread a cloud for a covering, a fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and He brought quail, and He satisfied them with the bread of heaven. Again, God doesn't shy away from the more nasty parts of the history, because we all fail. None of us is perfect. I love the fact that God does not give us the Bible sanitized from all the failures of God's people, because believe me, I fail. I need that grace. We all need that grace. God doesn't throw us aside because we fail. How wonderful our God is. And God provided food, bread and quail and water for them. Why did he do this? We're told that. Verse 42. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. Because of God's covenant promises, going back to Abraham, God does not go back on his promises. And we can take that to the bank. We can trust in that. As we consider our own situations every day, God provides what we need. And God brought his people out with gladness and joy. God gave them the lands of the Gentiles as an inheritance. Again, we have an inheritance. Not on this earth. We have an eternal inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth. And God has given to that to us through the death of his firstborn. That God gives that to us not because we are worthy, but because of the worthiness of his Son. And yet, we're not then just thrown in to live like the world. God gives us that inheritance so that they might, verse 45, observe his statutes and keep his laws, to live obediently. I love that the proclamation that we read this morning reminds us of our need to that our hearts be inclined for the future to keep all of God's laws. And we, in thanksgiving to God, need to pray that we would keep all of his laws in thanksgiving for all that he has done for us. And that we would praise the Lord, again, reminding us of that thanksgiving, of that need to thank God in worship. So, what is our history? What has God done for us? Now, certainly we think of the history that we've talked about here, but what has God done for you individually? For us as a church? For us as a nation? What has God done in our lives as he takes care of us day by day, year by year? Talk about these things. Remind our loved ones of these things. Above and beyond what God has done for us in saving us from our sins by sending his firstborn to die, we are reminded that he provides for us day by day. And the right response as we think about these things is to bow ourselves before him in worship as we celebrate Thanksgiving, to remember what he has done for us in saving us and that he has done for us day by day in providing for us all of our lives. And so, brothers and sisters, I commit to you to think today on what God has done for you, where he brought you, the directions he has brought you. And I commit to you as well, if you have the opportunity, to write things down, to talk to others, so that others can know what God has done for you. And brothers and sisters, we live in a culture which is very much self-centered and not thankful. We follow Thanksgiving with the day of greed called Black Friday. And brothers and sisters, we need as Christians to be reminded of everything God has given to us instead of spending our time saying, "But I want more from you." Because God has given us all that is necessary for body and soul. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer. And we'll close that prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, gracious, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given to us throughout our lives. Help us, Lord, remind us today of your rich provision day by day. Remind us that it is not because we are worthy, but because of how awesome you are that you provide for us day by day. Because we know that we are worthy not of your grace, but of your judgment, of your wrath. And so, Lord, we pray, bring to our remembrance today the things that you have given to us. Help us to be thankful to you today and every day as we remember your faithfulness, that it is truly new every morning. We pray, O Lord, help us to live in thanksgiving for what you have given to us on this earth, but also what you have given to us eternally in Christ Jesus our Lord, that you have given to us eternal life, so that we would not concentrate then on the things, the wants that so easily enamor us, but on what you have supplied us so richly, our needs. We pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as he has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.